What we usually do in our Sunday school, for those who may not know, in my Sunday school class, what we have been doing for some time is teaching about the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're still on that subject, and it's my favorite subject. And the children seem to be enjoying it, and so I'm glad, because it means that they're enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ. And some have gotten saved. One has gotten saved and was baptized in my class, which is a cause of great rejoicing. And one of the things I was thinking about this week's Sunday school lesson, we like to open our Bibles. I was in a place one time in the Sunday school, what they did was they sent away and had Sunday school programs that were age appropriate, and they would have these different books, and they would have textbooks and stuff like that for the young children, like coloring books and things. But actually, you can't do better than God's Word, the Bible. That's what we do here, and we're glad to do it, because it's nothing like God's Word. So Philippians chapter 4, many of you are aware that this epistle was written while Paul was in prison. The Apostle Paul was in prison, and he wrote this epistle to the beloved saints in Philippi. And out of all the psychological things that people try to do, this epistle would be the most psychological of all the epistles as far as addressing the problems of the mind and a Christian's thoughts. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But it's always connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people have said, you are what you eat. Well, as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you put your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have healthier thoughts, and you will have a healthier life. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. That's how do you walk. Well, what have you been eating today, mentally? Have you been feeding upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember he said that he is the bread which came down from heaven in John chapter 6. And people didn't understand what he was talking about. He said further on, he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And people got that, and they were carnal-minded, and they thought, this is strange talk. But if you turn the page a little bit and look a little bit further on, after they all left, there were some that stayed, of course. And he said, will you go too? And they said, well, to whom should we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ would do some things to get away from the crowd or to make the crowd get away from him. He calls people individually, and he calls us one at a time. That way, it's up to us responsibly to follow him. Now, he said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit. So what does it mean to eat the bread of life? It means to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritual way. We broke the bread this morning. That was only bread, and it was only wine. I came out of a religious system that believed in transubstantiation, which means that the wafers, or they call it the host, actually spiritually became the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Catholic religion. I was raised in that for a long time, and I came out of that because I started reading my Bible. I was reading my Catholic Bible, and I saw it by myself. I said, this doesn't match up. It's not right. So I left that denomination after I got saved. I was a saved Catholic for 5 years, and I read my Bible, and my Catholic Bible got me out of the Catholic Church. And there are many good Christians in the Catholic Church. I'm not speaking against anyone. But the Catholics, here's the difference between Catholicism and the Bible. In Catholicism, you're not justified until the end. You're sanctified first. You do good works. You take the sacraments. You're sanctified, and then maybe you're justified if you finally get saved. That's why they can't tell you you're going to go to heaven or not. They can't tell you. They don't know. Because have you been sanctified enough to be justified? The Bible says, the Catholic Bible says, if you read it, you are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we spend the rest of our days here being sanctified. That means being set apart. The sins, if you're following Christ, those sins, you can't carry them with you. They tend to fall off. And they fall off, and you become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You become little Christs. That's what sanctification is. To become little Christ, and more so as time goes on. That's sanctification. Sanctified means holy. That means set apart. And that's what you do after you get saved. You become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you die before you are conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you still go to heaven because you're saved. Isn't that wonderful? It's not by works we're saved. It's by grace are you saved through faith. But you got to have the faith in the right place. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they got it backwards. But there are saved Catholics. I was one. I'm not Catholic. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm thrilled. I never get over it. Never get over it. I just love talking about it. But in the Bible here, what we want to talk about now, we want to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all need, I've been saved over 50 years, and I want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet apprehended. What a Christian he was. I don't know anybody like him who went through so much, and he just kept going, and God's hand was on him, and he just went. Wonderful Christian. Wonderful. I've never seen anything like him. But the thing is, he had not yet apprehended. He never thought that he was Christ-like. He's following the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he could say, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with me. Take my hand. Follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't do that because the Apostle Paul is dead. His body's dead. His soul and spirit are in heaven. But I get the point. I understand what he means. Now, what I want to get to tonight, or today, is there are many word pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Did you know that? Some of you may know it already, may know it better than I do. And some of you younger ones may not have known it as much. Word pictures, what's that? It's poetry. Really, that's what poetry is. Poetry does not rhyme. Okay, let's get that straight. Poetry doesn't rhyme. That's not a poem when it rhymes. It's a verse. It's called a verse. A doctor of English, PhD, told me that. I made that mistake, and he never let me forget it. He says, poetry doesn't rhyme, Michael. What you're talking about is verse. Poetry makes word pictures in your mind. Word pictures in your mind. When somebody has a poem, it doesn't necessarily rhyme, but what it does, it makes you think of a truth that was meant to be thought. And that's what 1 Corinthians is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a wonderful chapter. Even the unsaved love it. And it's a word picture. If you take the word love and you put the word Christ in there, or Jesus Christ our Lord, whatever. Love is this, love is that. The Lord Jesus Christ is all of those things. Because God is love, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, so that you can do that. Love is what? You want to turn to it? I'll give you an example. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hold your finger there where we were in Philippians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll just give you an example of a good word picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians, I'll skip down to what I'm talking about, on verse 4. I'll go verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not Jesus. He says love here, or charity, but Jesus. It profiteth me nothing. There are many charitable atheists, not too many, very few in fact, but there are some who give their money away and they do this, that, and the other thing, and you would think, wow, what a generous person. But does it profit them anything? No, it doesn't, because they have not Christ. Okay, verse 4. Love, or Christ, suffers long and is kind. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, the Lord Jesus envies not. The Lord Jesus Christ vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up. Get it? It's a word picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could go right through that and you could get a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. There's another word picture, and that's our subject this morning, and I'll be very quick. He says in Philippians, finally, my brethren, he says finally in the beginning of chapter 3, and that was there was still a whole two chapters left when he said finally in verse 1 of chapter 3. But if you look in chapter 4, verse 8, he says it again, finally, and this time it's really toward the end. And it's very important. These are the last things that really are recorded that he's going to say to these dear saints in Philippi. Now, you've got to understand now that Paul, when he wrote this, was in prison. And it wasn't a nice place to be. He was chained up. He was not free to go. Bad ventilation. No bathroom facilities. Very little light. He had a candle because he was able to write this letter, but it was a bad place to be. It was a real prison. It was a cage, and you wouldn't treat an animal like that. But in that condition, the Apostle Paul fairly shouts with joy. Why? Because he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ that all the bad things that were going on around him really shrank into insignificance, and Christ shone brighter to him. He was in Christ, and Christ was in him. It's a positional thing, and he was having a wonderful, ecstatic almost, experience with the Lord Jesus Christ as he wrote this. Plus, he was inspired to write this by God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write these things, these exact words. Although it's been translated into English, it was in Greek, but now it's English. And they did a wonderful job of translating this into our language that we can understand. But this was something that the Apostle Paul wanted us to know. In verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be as committed all, now all means all judgment unto the Son. So at the great white throne judgment, we know that God is going to be on the throne, but which person in the Godhead? It's God the Son. Jesus Christ our Lord said so right here. So that what do we have to? It's justice. That's where we get just and justice. They're all the same root word. All judgment is going to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has done that. He's committed all judgment to him. So he's the one that's going to be on the great white throne. Now going back to, I'm going to move along here. In Philippians chapter 4. I lost my page again. But you know what? I'll tell you what. You'll forgive me. You'll be patient. I had to learn patience. You know, you learn patience through suffering. The Apostle Paul learned patience. Okay, whatsoever is pure. It says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure. How is purity like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'll speed up. I won't turn to these scriptures. But the Apostle Peter said he did no sin. He was pure from any kind of sin. He never sinned, never could sin. There's a doctrine around today that says that the Lord Jesus Christ could have sinned, but didn't. That's blasphemy. It's unscriptural. It's simply not true. It's a lie from the pit. It comes from the devil originally. It's not true that the Lord Jesus Christ could have sinned, but didn't. Oh no. He was a real, genuine man, yet he was apart from sin. If he could have sinned, then he was no better than we were, except he didn't sin. But don't forget who he is. He never stopped being what he always was just because he came here and was something he never was before. When he became man, he never laid his deity aside. He was God manifest in the flesh. That's what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you finally see him, you're saved, you're going to see the man of Calvary. Now, he's a man in the glory. He's not going to be a spirit only anymore. When he was with God the Father in heaven and God the Holy Spirit, there were three spirits, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He had not yet become a man. And the Bible says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means he became something that he never was before, yet he never stopped being what he always was. Remember that. He's still God, manifest in the flesh, showing, that was what manifest means, kids. It means to show himself. God showed himself in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could God sin? No. Impossible. God cannot sin. Impossible. Impossible. The Lord Jesus Christ could not sin. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet he loves us. Think about that. Think about that. He loves us and gave himself for us on the cross. What a Savior. Nobody else has that except the Lord Jesus Christ and the Christian have that together. Wherever they may be, if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved simply because they believe on him. God has made it so easy to get saved, in a sense. It's not easy to be saved in this world, but it's easy to get saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And God said it. I'm just repeating it. God says it, and that settles it. Whether anybody believes it or not, they had a bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, you could take that I believe it out. It's good if you do believe it. It's good for you. But God settles it. The Bible says God's word is forever settled in heaven, and there's not anybody that can change it. The devil can't change it. God won't change it. He knows the end from the beginning. He never has to backpedal or anything like that, correct anything he ever said. Oh, no. When God says it, that settles it. Now, what do you trust? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe on him more now than I did when I first got saved. But I had, how much belief do you have to get saved? You know what Jesus said about that? He says you have to have faith like a little child. And then you go on from there. Now, I know the Lord Jesus Christ a lot more than I used to because I read God's word and I read about him. I'm reading what I'm right now today. I'm learning more about the Lord Jesus just reading this. And I'm learning more and more and more and more. That's great. But I'm not any more saved than I was when I first believed. That's why God is so wonderful to me. Even a little person, a little child, just simply trusting the Lord Jesus, just like a little child. In fact, he says, that's how you come to him, as a little child. Just like a little child faith, say, just ask him, say, will you save me? I know I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. And God says yes. He always says yes. He never says no to that, never. If you do that, if you come to God, it's because God the Holy Spirit wants you to come to God, and he moved you that way. And I don't care if you're 4 years old, 3 years old, or whatever. If you want to be saved, Jesus said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I won't turn you away. Just believe me. Just come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he does. He says, come on, come on, come on. And he'll do all the hugging. When you throw your arms in, throw yourself into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll hug you more than you hug him. I'll tell you that, kids. It's a fact. Grown-ups, too. He does all the hugging. He does all the saving. I did all the sinning. He'll save you. He guaranteed. Guaranteed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You'll be saved. No maybes about it. Okay, what else? Good report. Oh, my. This is one of the things that says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. How about John chapter 4? Now, this is a portion. I just love this one. John chapter 4. The woman at the well, I think about her a lot. You know, I'm going to see that woman in heaven. And I'm going to say, oh boy. He says, aren't you glad you're saved? And she'll look at me and say, yes, I am. Are you? I say, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to see her in heaven. This woman, when she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she was all by herself, drawing water at the well. We all know this. Most of us know this. And she was all alone. In the middle of the day, no, actually it was later in the day, the other women wouldn't have anything to do with this woman. When you get a bad woman, all the other women that are around, they look at you, and they're very critical. That's true, they are, let's face it. No good woman likes a bad woman. You know why? Because a lot of men like that kind of woman. And she's a disgrace to the gender, and they just don't like them. Women just don't like bad women. They just don't. And I don't blame them. That's perfectly all right. She was repulsed and alone, and she had her water jug, and she's going to draw water after all the other women were gone. This woman had five husbands. Where'd she get those husbands? She got them from somebody else. Probably. And the one that she has now is not her husband. And the Lord Jesus Christ told her that. But what did she do? When the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with her, he did not condemn her. He did not. No, he didn't. He told her the truth. Because remember now, he is the truth. Impossible for him to lie. And he told her the truth. And he told her who he was. I that speaketh with thee am he. Because she said, when Christ comes, he's going to tell us all things. And he said, I am the Christ. And he told her some of what she had done. And she, without her telling him, he knew these things. And so what did she do? She got saved. She believed on him. And she ran away. And what did she say? Good report. Look at verse 28. And Jesus just got through speaking in verse 26. He said, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his apostles, his disciples, and marveled, excuse me, that he talked with the woman. But the woman did, is in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, not to the women. The women would not listen to this woman at all because of her reputation. They thought she was a bad person. They didn't want anything to do with her. So what did she do? She went over to the men. And she was probably on better terms with them, I'm sure. because of her past. And she said unto the men, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Of good report. Of good report. Yes, of good report. That's to meditate upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to have a good reputation. You know why? Not because of us. So that we can point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody can do that very easily. If you work with other people, be as kind as you can. Never say a negative word about anybody. Always say hi. Always smile, even if you don't feel like smiling. Smile. Costs nothing. And before long, if you practice smiling, even when you don't feel like it, after a while, you will feel like it. Because you're smiling, and you're happy, and you're making happiness, even though they're grouchy. You smile, and people like that. Even if they don't admit it, they like it. Give a smile. It doesn't cost anything. Be a smile. Be pleasant. And you'll be doing like the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice when he met sinners, he never got jumped up and down and said, you're a sinner. You need to repent. He never did that. He never did. Even the ones that hated him. What did he do? He just told them the truth. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't condemn them to hell. He didn't do that. He did correct the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the others because they were the ones that were going after him and actually causing trouble. So he had to correct them. But he was kind to them. He didn't do what he could have done to them. Remember that. He never judged them here and never condemned them at all, even though he had to speak to them firmly and hardly and tell them who they were and what they were going to get. He had to tell them the truth. He never compromised. He told the truth, but he did it in love, and that's what we need to do. We can't condemn anyone, no matter who they are or what they've done. God can save that person. And we have to bring the gospel faithfully to them. And so let's move on. I did it again. I turned my page and I lost my page. Philippians chapter 4. Okay. Here it is. Okay. If there be any virtue. Virtue. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean by virtue? Virtue means good behavior. Emanating from what's good inside. A virtuous woman. Why makes a woman? Look at Psalm 31. I got my wife that way. I don't want to embarrass her. But I read Psalm 31. I was looking for a wife. This is just an aside. I was looking for a wife. And one of the old Christians told me, he says, yeah, you looking for a wife? I said, yeah, I want a Christian home. I want a family. I want kids. I want a home. And I was getting old. I was over 30. And he said, you need Proverbs 31. And so I did. I read that and I studied it for a long time. And I said, yeah, that's good. That's what I'll do. And so that's what happened, and I got one. But virtue, what is that? Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. You don't have to turn to it. I know your fingers are getting tired. I'll combine this with praise. You can do this in this verse. In verse 17 of Matthew chapter 3, after the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, it says here, well, go verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So, by the way, you'll see people like T.D. Jakes and other people, they're not Trinitarians. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't. I guess that there's one God, one person in God who just shows himself in different aspects throughout history. No. Right here, you have the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all together in one place at one time. Okay? Read the verse. It says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God, that's God the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, from heaven, not the dove was not speaking. It was a voice from heaven, that's God the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, do you know that you're going to have praise from God? I want to close with this. Time is going. It's not gone yet. One more minute. Every man shall have praise of God. Did you know that? The Bible says that at the judgment. You're going to be praised of God. If you stand before God in the holiest of holies, that's where God is, and that's what the place is because it's God is there. The Holy of Holies at the judgment. You won't be judged for your sins. Remember that. You will never be called upon for your sins. That's all washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all washed away. And God will remember them no more. Thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. He never bring them up again. But what a place. The holiest of holies. Do you know that every man, every person, everyone that's saved shall have praise of God? He's going to reward you for your works. Starting from the day you got saved, not before, but the day you got saved, all the way up until the time of the judgment, God's books are going to be opened. Did you know that you're recorded in his books? Yes, kids. Everything is written down. You're making pages, you're filling up pages in God's book. Not your sins, but how well did you bless mom and dad? Were you good kids to mom and dad? Mom and dad, were you good to your kids? Were you good to your wife, your husband? Were you a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? All of these things are written down in those books. And God can review them in split second. And you know, you might cry. You say, I missed that opportunity. That person, I could have said something about the Lord Jesus. Maybe I could have won him to heaven. Maybe I could have won him to God. But you didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm guilty of that. And I might cry. God says, I can't give you that reward I wanted to give you. I can't give you that. And I might weep like this. But what God would do, we'd say, look, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say God, I mean God the Son. Remember all judgment committed unto him? He'll say, it's okay. You did that, and you did that, and you did that, and you did it for me because you love me. I said, but it didn't turn out good. And he'll say, that's all right. You did it because you loved me. And God will wipe away every tear. Every tear. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What a God we have. What a Savior we have. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Not at all. Be encouraged. Dwell upon the Lord Jesus Christ and fill your life with him. You'll have a life if you do that. And you'll go forth victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ in his power. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are so grateful for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to read thy word and to see Christ in every page and to live Christ, to do that which is pleasing to thee, just like him. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings, but most of all, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thee thanks. Amen.